If you would turn to Luke, the 24th chapter, the name of this title of this sermon is Kingdom Theology. Kingdom Theology. Luke 24, starting in verse 13. If you got it, put your hand up so we're all reading together. Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke 24. If you got it, let me see your hands. Amen. Starting in verse 13, it says, "Now behold, two of them were traveling the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they talked together of these things which had happened. And so it was a while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were restrained so they did not know him. And he asked them, 'What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and you're sad?' And then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, 'Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem that have not known the things which have happened in these days?' And Jesus said to him, 'What things?' And they said to him, 'The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But him they did not see. Then he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe, in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and entered into glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he expanded to them all the scriptures and the things concerning him." Kingdom theology. We've been spending the last 3 months, 4 months, in understanding kingdom theology. And you should be able to now understand that your Christianity and my Christianity is more than just coming here on Sunday or going to a camp meeting and praising God and living your life contrary to what God requires of us. Amen? We have learned that kingdom theology is God's plan for the universe and his kingdom in heaven. That's what kingdom theology is all about. It's what God wants and us understanding what it is that he wants and requires of us. And for too long, and I've been guilty of this, where I've preached messages against sin that have convicted people in a way that they've run out the door, and you will continue to hear messages on sin. Because I think that's what the church should be doing. Because if we have sin within the church, how are we going to be able to witness to those people outside? We have to understand that kingdom theology deals with us in a way that educates us. And as I said earlier, you know, we as Christians should be the most educated of all peoples. And I can tell you from my Jewish friends that I've talked to, they are very educated. They are knowledgeable about world events. They are knowledgeable about what's going on in their community. They are very knowledgeable about how people dislike them. You see, there is a price that's going to be paid, and that price has already been paid for us. Kingdom theology. Does kingdom theology to you just mean a bunch of rules and regulations? Or is kingdom theology something that brings revelation to your spirit, to bring comprehension to your mind, to motivate you to do what it is that God wants you to do? If that's true, then your lives and your lifestyle will reflect being a kingdom citizen. That's just the simplicity of it. I mean, I'm working to a point. You are all citizens, and I'm a citizen. Some of us are still rebellious towards what the Lord wants of us, and that's okay. God will deal with you. I don't have to. He's dealing with me. But we have to understand that the kingdom is much more than just preaching about Jesus. And I've used the illustration. You know, why do people go to Atlantic City? It's because of the mayor. They know the mayor. And, oh, yeah, let's go. Let's go to Atlantic City because of the mayor. I don't even know who the mayor is. Of course not. They don't go to Atlantic City for that. They go because of all the attractions, the beaches, the casinos, the restaurants, the things that you can do there, the sights and sounds. Kingdom theology teaches us what heaven's about. Kingdom theology causes us to speak to people in a way that reality, which is ours, can also be their reality also. And that's the invitation, that God extends a hand to us and become kingdom citizens. The problem that I see with kingdom theology is that we get stuck on the king and forget about the kingdom. Kingdom theology is what Jesus expounded to the disciples, I believe. It doesn't say that, and I'm being extra biblical, but I really do believe that when he expounded the scriptures, he spoke of everything from Moses or Genesis up to the prophets. Remember, the New Testament was not written yet. We have stayed inordinately in an amount of time of Genesis 1:1 to Genesis 3:25. Learning about what was happening in the beginning. What constituted the beginning? What did God do in the beginning? What did God do when he created the earth and the purposes of mankind? And Adam losing dominion over the earth and giving it to God's enemy and our enemy also, Satan, who now has dominion upon this planet. He no longer has dominion over your lives. That's the truth. That is the truth. And Jesus said the truth will set you free. You are set free. You do not have to sin any longer. You do not have to give in to that temptation any longer because you're citizens of the kingdom. And as citizens of the kingdom, you are endowed with such a power within you that is potentially dangerous to the world. And we've touched on this potential. We've touched on how the kingdom has become resident within us, like the Ark of the Covenant containing the Aaron's rod, the jar of manna, and the tablets of the Ten Commandments were contained. All of that was pointed to Jesus Christ. He is our ark. He is our salvation. He is resident within us. And so is the kingdom. If we choose not to allow the kingdom to exude from us, we actually bring dishonor to our God and King, because he tells us to go. Go and spread this news. Go and spread and tell people. But I can't find in the scriptures where he told them to go and give them a bunch of rules and regulations. He gave us two rules, of which I think as a fellowship we do pretty well in that. And it just blesses my heart to see the interaction of this love going on. As kingdom citizens, we are not to be judgmental towards each other. We are to judge or discern what the activities are going out there in the streets and highways. But as far as brothers and sisters, we should be honest with one another in such a way that if I have a tude with you, I'm going to come to you. And you have the right to come to me in love. We don't have the right as citizens to chew each other up and spit them out and then say, well, pray about it and get over it. That is so callous and it's so unlike Christ. You see, kingdom theology to me is learning to love in spite of being abused. Learning to love the way God loves and understanding that God has loved us tremendously. I get choked up in communion because I realize what kind of sinner I was. I'm now a saint and a heavenly citizen, given dominion, and I'm taking dominion. Because I know who I am and I know in who I believe. The question is, as citizens of the kingdom, are you as affirmative in your concentration of who you are, or are you still trying to emulate the world? That's the question. You see, kingdom theology is always going to be in conflict with the world's theology. The world's theology says, you know, you've got to be like this person. You have to be razor thin. You got to be as pretty as some supermodel. Can't think of one. Or you have to be as buff and athletic as some muscle-bound person. And if that's your gig, that's fine. But as long as God is the center of your life, it doesn't matter. As long as you're using your life and living your life in such a way that it glorifies the King and draws people to Him. You see, kingdom theology in a nutshell is you may be the only Jesus that people will ever see. What kind of Jesus do they see when they look at you, when they speak with you, when you conduct yourself with them? Because as the song says, you know, what will we say when we stand before the King of Kings? Because we will all stand before the King of Kings. We will all give an account. And as I said last week, the reason for the kingdom, for us as believers, is we know what the end is. We know what's going to happen at the end. We know that. And that's the reason why we conform our lives in such a way that we want to draw as many from that destruction that is going to come through a lifestyle of loving people unconditionally. I said to my wife this morning, I mean, I know I was a bear during some of the stressful areas of the building project. And I just asked her to forgive me and thanked her for loving me through this. Because, you know, if I did not have that support from her, and vice versa, because there were times in which she was just at wit's end, if we didn't have love and edify each other in a proper way, we probably would have been divorced. This fellowship would have probably been dissolved, but it's only because of Christ and us being kingdom people and kingdom-minded. I said to her, I said, I don't know how much more of this I can take, but God does, and I praise God that He knows my frame, and He will take me through this. He will take me through this. And every time I made that declaration, God sent somebody to me to edify me, to encourage me, to just give me a word that I held on to. Sometimes it was Dan showing up for no apparent reason. And sometimes I look like a deer in headlights, like, what are you doing here? Because I'm so concentrated in accomplishing a task. And I appreciated that. I really did. And God will do that in the simplicity of your desire to have a flute. God's desire is to give it to you. Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it for you. You see, being kingdom-minded is seeking God first, seeking what He wants first, seeking His righteousness first. Matthew 6:33. This should be something in our lives that we're constantly looking. When we're looking at God all the time and troubles are coming through our lives, I don't want you to feel that it's minimized. I want you to understand that God is there waiting to cause His hand to come under us, to support us through this in such a way. The kingdom should be the first thing we seek, not the last thing. The King should be the first thing that people see through our lives, not us. Not us. And let's face it, we are selfish, we are self-centered. We're retrobate. We do things that are harmful and hateful. And out of the same mouth and the same lips, we tell people we love them. That is not true. In the kingdom, you love people and you do not suffer consequences out of love, because you don't conduct yourself in a way that would be different or contrary to what Christ has done for us. Do we understand that? Do we really understand that? You know, as kingdom people, being impatient. I know sometimes I'm like Irene, you know, this past week I was on vacation, and I called, let's take it all back week. She'd go buy it, and then we'd take it all back. Then she'd go buy something else. We'd go take it all back. We'd buy something else. We'd take that all back. And it's like, I'm just looking for functionality. I don't care if feng shui is coming into this thing. Function. Put a mirror up there, and it's fine. Well, it's not centered. You know, the fixtures. You're going to have to move the fixtures because they're just... That's love. That's love. It's love. Or yesterday, in trying to do the message, I had a plumber come over, and praise God, this guy did a wonderful job, knocked out my plumbing problems, you know, great guy. But in between the plumber, electrician, cable guys, heating, air conditioning guy, and I'm coordinating all this, while I'm doing the message, I get, can you do this for me? What is it that you want, Irene? How many of us take that deep breath? How many of us take it after? What do you want? What? You know, you're really bugging me? I got stuff to do. I didn't do that. I would love to. I would love to. But my Bible says I must practice righteousness. And righteousness is what God would do. Kingdom theology tells me I must do what God does. If I'm His kid, I can do the same things that He says I can do. I lift up His word and I say, in it, I can do this. I can love. With God's help. I can love. I can be patient. I can be kind. I can be gentle. I can be long-suffering. I can be faithful. Anybody recognize that scripture? Galatians 5:25. Fruits of the Spirit. I can be these because Christ is in me waiting for me to put into practice. But what do I practice? I practice resentment and bitterness and anger, cursings, blame shifting, impropriety, sexual behaviors, and a whole lot is what I practice. But that does not diminish what Christ has done for me. It's understanding that the kingdom of heaven is grace that has been bestowed upon me to no longer live my life the way I want to live it. I live it in a way that is contrary to what the world says I should do, but ever in line with what the Spirit of God and the Word of God says I can do. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. And I choose to. You see, it's a motivation of your will. The kingdom theology deals with my soul nature. And within my soul is contained my mind, my will, and my emotions. If I will to do what God says, my mind and my emotions will follow suit. Thereby, correlating actions of the kingdom will come into play. Power. Paul says, I didn't come to you with the really deceptive words and all. I came to you in truth and in power of the Spirit. He demonstrated what he believed. And each and every day, we demonstrate to a world out there what we believe, whether you realize it or not. I'm reading a fantastic book. It's called Unchristian. And it deals with the hypocrisy of Christians and their lifestyle and what the world thinks of us. It's really an awesome book because it just makes me sit there and think about my life. How I am an ambassador, and you are an ambassador also, Jesus Christ. How you live your life will tell people if they're going to listen to you or not. How we evangelize is not predicated on getting a person saved. It's whether we build a relationship with them first. 70% of converts comes through personal relationships with an individual. Did you know that? Not through the Billy Graham crusades or all this other stuff. It's one-on-one, developing a rapport and a relationship. People examining your life and your beliefs to see what is true and real in your life. And I've told you the story. I've had guys, you know, I don't pressure them in work. I don't pressure them. I want them to see my life and my beliefs. And my beliefs is how I live my life. Am I perfect? No. But the one thing that they said to me that should really ring home to you is they saw the consistency of my beliefs through how I lived. Do people see that in you? Do they see that you, professing to be a Christian, live a Christian lifestyle? That doesn't mean that you're staying away from sin or your thought life is imperfect or you're not tithing to the church. I mean, that's between you and God. Your lifestyle, how you're living, and how you're relating to people is what the kingdom theology is about. We should not be looking to reap a harvest quickly. We should be looking to plant seeds as quickly as possible in a person's life. We should be looking to exhibit the kingdom by understanding the fear of the Lord. I fear God. I've seen some things that would really shake you that only God can do. And for me, you'd be a lunatic to walk away from Christ, seeing how awesome and powerful He really is. And the church has not realized how awesome and powerful she is. But there is a day coming when that reality is going to be your reality. The Joshua generation finally rising up and taking their place in the land and influencing this planet for the kingdom of God. And then the end will come. You see, church, I'm saying all this to get you to understand that we have the ability to enhance the second coming of Jesus Christ. I want to see Him come. I don't want to die and leave this planet wondering if the church is going to arise and shine because the glory and lifter of her head has delayed. I want to be a part of that last coming, that when He calls, the trumpet sounds, that, you know, I don't have to taste death. I can just go right in. My body be transformed into more immortality. My mortality becoming immortal. My spirit soaring to greater things, allowing the full power of the kingdom of God to flow through me to destroy the works of the devil. You see, if you really believe what you profess, your lives would be totally different. Right? It would. And I haven't even touched my notes yet. This is all preemptive strike. The kingdom of God, the kingdom theology is really a way of life. Jesus told us He is the truth, the way, and the life. We have truth, but without love, truth is nothing but a prideful arrogance that bestows us. We just become informational things to dispense information, and people don't want information. If we have truth and we have life, but we have no love, we are hypocritical because what happens is we know to do the right things, but we choose not to. And the world, believe me, they recognize it and are repulsed by it. If we have the truth, the life, and we're walking the way, consistency, church. We're not saying perfection, but we're saying consistently. Always serving people, always helping people, always planting the seeds of opportunity. Last night was the Christmas tree lighting. And I don't know how many of you guys were able to make it. I was still doing the sermon, but I wanted to be there. And Irene said it was about 300 people from the community were there. And at the after the lights lighting up service, they went inside, they had pizza, and this kind of grossed me out, pizza and hot chocolate. I don't know. Cider and cookies. That's a little bit better. But pizza, not chocolate, just didn't do it for me. But she planted a seed. They were giving some stuff away, and she says, oh, well, if it's all right with you, I'd like to take some of these things for our kids in our church. And about 15 minutes later, a woman says, you're going to give these to your people in the church? Here, take these too. Take this stuff. And of course, we brought them today. It's a seed. You see, our objective is to infiltrate. Our objective is to influence. Our objective is to get people to live for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's our objective. It doesn't matter if you're 15 years of age. It doesn't matter if you're 50 years of age. What matters is, how are you going to relate to people? If you're professing to be a Christian and you're relating to them through anger, resentment, and bitterness, well, then they don't see Christ. They see me. But if I choose, again, kingdom theology is a matter of choice. If I choose to serve, and that's what kingdom theology is primary, is to get us to serve others before ourselves, serve God before ourselves. To have the opportunity to influence people's lives and plant seeds so that just as quickly, in 20 minutes, 15 minutes, there was somebody who picked up on the seed that Irene had planted. Church, this year that's coming, it's going to require a lot of us. A lot of us. But with that, God has shown me that we will increase numerically and spiritually. I don't know about you, but the status quo and growing spiritual without going out and winning people into the kingdom, or at least inviting them into the kingdom, doesn't happen in a day or a week. It happens over time. And as I said to you before, you know, if a Greek wanted to know what you were all about, he'd follow you around for a day. But a Jew, if he wanted to know what you were all about, the reality of your life, he'd follow you around for a week. Because the consequences of finding out who you really are will happen within that week's time. You can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. You know? Let us take the facades off. Let us take the pretentiousness off. Let us begin to start loving each other the way Christ wants us to love each other. Let us take hold of our kingdom theology and make it a reality to ourselves and put into practice that which God has told us to do. And that's to love. It's to love. Without love, I'm a clanging cymbal. Without love, I'm rude and arrogant in my best. Without love, I'm prideful. Without love, I'm self-serving. Without love, I am nothing. Father, I just thank you for this day. I pray, God, that the reality of kingdom theology would begin to infiltrate our thinking, God. I pray, God, it would be even a greater reality to be a blessing to others in spite of ourselves. Father, you've told me that it's going to cost us everything that we are and everything that we have in order to follow you. And I believe we're ready to do that, God. I believe that what you've given to me to cause these young babes of yours, God, to grow up and to become that which you want them to be, now is the time. Father, go before us, be with us, and protect our rear so that the enemy would not pick us off. Cause a fervency of love to be within our hearts, Lord. God, help us to put into practice. Help us to cry out for help, not cry out in rebellion. God, you know our ways, you know our frame, and you'll not give us anything more than what we're able to sustain. But in that that time, God, you give us a way of escape. Father, that escape is only found in Jesus Christ. Lord, I ask that you bless your church as we go deeper in this understanding and preparing ourselves to begin to infiltrate as men and women going over the hill to take on the battle. Lord, bless their comings and goings. Bless everything that they would put their hands to. But most of all, God, bless their spirits by filling them afresh and anew. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.